Thank you. Okay, let me get situated. Thank you for letting me share with you today, and it's been fun to meet some of you already. You've all been really friendly and nice and warm, and I'm so thankful that you're not scary. So, I'm from North Carolina. I was born and raised in the same town my whole life until I moved to Georgia to be with Envision Atlanta. I went to school not too far away at the correct color blue school, which is UNC. And I liked it there. So, I wanted to start by introducing Alliance Missions a little bit. It's a big family. We have four different structures of Alliance Missions. And there's Access, which is the one with the X. And that is like church ministry and church planting branch of the CMA, and then there's Marketplace Ministries with the M that looks like a bridge, and they connect people with job opportunities in countries where maybe you can't go as a missionary, or it might even be illegal to be a believer there. And then there is Envision with the I thing, and that's where I've been for the last 4.5 years almost, and Envision focuses on developing missional leaders through innovative ministry opportunities, and I've been able to be a part of that by reaching refugees in Clarkston and helping to host short-term teams and interns at that site. And then the one with the hands is Comma, and you just saw a great video that gives you a picture of what Comma does. They're the relief and development branch of the CMA, and that's where I'm going to be switching to and joining the team in Kosovo. I forgot to start my timer. But, so I want to share with you today the journey of how I got from to this place and share some of the things that God's been teaching me along the way. So a little more than a year ago, I probably could not have told you where Kosovo is on the map. There it is. And I could not have told you what language they speak. And so how did I get here? Now I'm going to move there. And I want to share that story with you today. So like I said, I've been in Clarkston for over 4 years now, working with refugees. And I originally went there because I had felt God was calling me to go to the nations, and I didn't know what that would look like, but he opened up this opportunity for me to go to Clarkston, and the nations were in Clarkston. There's over 90 different people groups represented there, and a lot of them are coming from the 1040 window, which is an area of the world where a lot of people are unreached or unengaged. It means they have little to no access to the gospel. And so while I've been in Clarkston, I've been able to be obedient to that call while also working towards some requirements I needed to meet in order to go overseas with the CMA. There's a lot of requirements, which is good. It's good. But the longer I was in Clarkston, the more I kind of started to lose sight of the possibility of going somewhere else. because I loved Clarkston. I love the people there. And I mean, the nations are there. There are real needs there and real work to be done. So why go somewhere else? And ironically, the closer I got to meeting the requirements I needed to be able to go overseas, the happier I would have been to just stay where I was. But beginning of 2022, God started to prompt me to think about what was going to be next. And I was like, man. I wasn't sure what that was going to look like, because I had no idea where I would want to go or in what capacity I would go somewhere else. I think God calls some people to a specific country or people group, but that's just not how he was leading me. So I wasn't sure what that was gonna look like. And so I started to say, okay, I'm just going to look and see what's out there and do some research. And God kind of gave me this picture of pulling on a string, and I'm just going to pull on the strings that he gives me and see what unravels or where it leads. Maybe one string will end, and that's okay. I'll pull on another one, and where is it going to lead? And so in the beginning of the journey of pulling on threads, God brought me to Isaiah 30. And there's been a lot in that chapter that he's been teaching me and reminding me and keeps bringing me back to during this journey. So I'm going to read some of it to you. You should go back and read all of it someday. But I'm just going to read pieces because it's kind of long. Sometimes pastors, like, they say they're going to read something, and then they want you to be there too, but they don't give you time to get there. And then it stresses me out, so I'm giving you a minute. Okay. Isaiah 30, I'm going to start in verse 1, and then I'll skip to verse 18. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. Verse 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. So some things that when I was reading this and God was speaking to me, some of the things that he impressed upon me was first this warning that he was giving to the Israelites to not go and make their own plans without consulting him, to not put their trust in Egypt, but he wants them to seek him rather than what might make worldly sense. I mean, maybe it made a lot of sense for Israel to trust in Egypt. They were big and strong and probably had a lot of resources, but that's not what God wanted for them. He wanted them to come to him. And so another thing in here that he was showing me was to seek him, to long for him, that he would give me what I need. Verse 15 says that in repentance and rest you will be saved, in quietness and trust is your strength. But to have that, we have to go to him instead of other things that might look good. And then I saw this like promise that he's going to reveal himself to us. It says that he longs to be gracious to us. Like, he longs to be gracious to us. He wants to do good for us, and he has good for us. It says that our eyes will see our teacher and our ears will hear a word behind us. So those were some of the things that he's just been showing me through this journey. But there's one verse in particular that he's really been using to teach me. That's Isaiah 30, 21. It says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And I love the promise that's there, and I want to hold on to it. But as I was reading this in the beginning of my journey, I had a problem with it. Because it's like, okay, I'll hear a word behind me, but I really want to hear it in front of me because I want to know where I need to go. So if any of us were going to go to a new place, we would put it in our phone, and Google Maps is going to tell us 600 feet in advance which way to turn. This morning, Miss Gail told me she would take me to church. She said I could follow her there, and she was driving in front of me, not behind me, so that I would know which way to turn on the way to church. And I like it that way. I like knowing in advance the directions. And I think that's because uncertainty is uncomfortable. So this is something, and I was like realizing, man, God, I really want my prayers for guidance to work like a GPS. Like, I want to just pray for God, show me where you want me to go and what you want me to do, and then for him to just tell me. So this is something I've had to wrestle with and ask him about along the way. And really, like, I've been wondering, why does the verse say that the word will be behind? Like, why is it like that? So interestingly, something that I've been sensing that he's asking me in this journey is, are you going to trust me? Will you trust me? Are you going to trust me? And because I'm a little bit slow, I finally started to put that together with this verse in Isaiah. And I think it's about trusting him. We can step out into uncertainty. We can turn to the right or to the left, and he's going to be there. And maybe I'm not going to know what it's going to look like, but I know it's I can do it. It's trusting him, it's faith, because I know he's going to be there, even if I don't know what it looks like. And I think our work and our location really do matter to God, but ultimately I think our following him is about our relationship with him. And so I had, before I could say yes to a specific place or a specific ministry opportunity, I just had to say yes to Jesus. And so as God has been teaching me these things and I've been pulling on different threads and seeing where they would lead, I eventually had a conversation with Lisa Ramsey. She's one of the directors of CAMA. And we weren't going to talk about Kosovo, at least I wasn't. But it came up in our conversation, and something about it was sticking. Like there was something there. And it maybe didn't have, like, I didn't have a good reason for why, but I knew that something was sticking. I said, okay, I'm going to keep pulling on this string, and I'm going to see where it leads, and I'm going to turn to the right or the left and see what God says and what he wants to do. So he's continued to lead that way. Now the goal is to move there in January. I'll be joining the CAMA team in the city of Jilan. And as you saw a little bit on the video, CAMA's mission is to see lives transformed and communities restored through relief and development work. And the team in Jilan is doing that in some creative ways. They have a center there where they are teaching and giving people development opportunities. There's a occupational therapy and soon to be a fitness center. And then God has put this mission in my heart, wherever I am, to help create space where people can encounter Jesus. And so I'm excited to get to do that in Kosovo. A little bit about Kosovo for some context is it's post-war, post-communist in their recent history, so they still are facing some economic and vocational limitations, and they experience isolation and loneliness. Many people feel stuck in their circumstances. And if you don't know Jesus, then that compounds a sense of hopelessness. And I went to go visit in March, and I heard some of that feeling of stuckness from some of the people I got to talk to. One woman told me that she felt stuck, and it's not a good place to live. And then another man he was half joking, I think half serious, he said, the only thing to do here is leave. But we want people to find hope and freedom in Christ. And the Alliance has this catchy saying that all of Jesus is for all the world. And it's true, and if that's true, that means that for the people in Kosovo, Jesus is a source of hope, and he is inviting people who maybe feel isolated into community with himself and others, and he will set people free from sin and darkness so they're no longer bound. The community center in Kosovo is a place where people can come to know their God-given value and significance. It's a place where they can encounter the God of hope and find connection and belonging. When I was visiting, I got to hear the impact that the center was having in the community from a couple of people who go there regularly, and they shared that this feels like their home. They found somewhere where they belong. They learned how to have friends there, and they believe that they're better students and people because of the role that the center has had in their lives. But we know that Jesus' presence is transformative. And so that's because of Jesus. He desires to bring lost people into his family. And he decided to use us to do that. He doesn't need us, but he wants to do it with us. He doesn't need me in Kosovo, but I want to say yes to what he's inviting me to. And I want to follow him because I've discovered that he's good and he loves me, and I really want that for other people. So how might he be inviting you to follow him in this season of your life? How can you say yes to Jesus? You can participate in bringing the gospel to all people in a few different ways. You can pray for those who are lost, and you can pray for the workers to go to those who are lost. You can give, because it takes money to move and to live somewhere else. So you could give to the Great Commission Fund or to a specific worker who you want to support. And you can go. You can go to school. You can go to work. You can go to your neighbor. Maybe he's asking you to go somewhere you've never been before, like a new part of town or a new country. Whatever, I don't know what he's doing in all of your lives right now, but he's doing something. And I think he wants to invite you into more with him. And so whatever it is that he's calling you to in this season of your life, you can say yes to him, because he longs to be gracious to you. He will reveal himself to you, and whether you turn to the right or to the left, he's going to be there, and your ear will hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." I'll pray. God, thank you for your faithfulness to us, even though we've been very unfaithful a lot of times. You've never walked away from us, and you continue to invite us into good things with you, and you will lead us and you will reveal yourself to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this week. Make it clear to us what kind of yes you want from us, and give us the grace to be able to do it over and over again, even if we have to remember that we said yes lots of times. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.